So we're on a few, you know, everyone else has to have it.
I just wanted to extend the point that I was making the other day. Afa Tramobo Jukka Patesha, Aina Tuna Afa Tesha Patikoma. He starts the fact that the shonen who learn Ad Aimatir and Ata Apesakatikoman really revolutionize our understanding of what that phrase means. Because if you look at it regularly, that you should tell him Kihilchos Apesak Aimatir and Ata Apesakatikoman, then it means you hit specifically this halacha. And then you have to explain why the Daska is such a halacha, and it led to a tremendous amount of drush. You know, what do we see in the law of Ein Matir and Acha HaPesach HaBikoman that needs to be explained? By the way, I once said something that maybe you didn't even hear a few years ago, but it bears repeating. One of the Jewishim that you can say about why this halacha was singled out is because there's a danger always for someone who is asking Eidus Chukim and Mishpatim to be a kind of a cerebral sort of fellow, very, very much into the technical, the details, the logic, the analysis of the lumbus, of the yumbus, but not necessarily interested in the feelings, the hergation, the sensitivity, the lay, as opposed to the moach. He's a moach person. And a moach person sometimes doesn't have the capacity. Someone once told me that there are a number of yeshivas for Baal Yeshiva, for example, who start from scratch. They pointed out to me that there's a yeshiva for people who are approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their intelligence and striving to understand more. So I have a yeshiva that emphasizes philosophical debate and dialogue and an immersion in text and so on. And then there's another person that approaches it to be out of Gishmak Shabbos by someone, and he wants to have more of that. So you have one of these yeshivas that emphasize, you know, the feelings of Yiddishkeit and the, you know, so on and so forth. The truth is that obviously you cannot split with them. And anyone who has a purely cerebral approach to the Torah is obviously going to be making a terrible mistake about what Yiddishkeit is, and vice versa. So why do we tell the Beina Chacham who asks Moha Eivis Vachukim HaMishpatim the Dafka? Why do we tell him the Dafka, the Tawach of Eivis Vachukim HaMishpatim? To teach him a fundamental yesod that in a remez sort of way indicates what we're trying to tell him, and that is don't get into the ruts of thinking exclusively in logical categories. Eivishter, and you have emotions, and you have to go through the furnish wall with your emotions as well. So really we see that in the law of Eivishter and Acha Pesach HaBikoman. This is how long that you're supposed to eat the Pesach last. And I said, did you eat the Pesach last, or you didn't eat the Pesach last at the end? You did. And you benched. So who cares that I'm going to eat something after? The Pharisee, we want that the time should remain in our mouth. But the time remaining in our mouth is not in and of itself a mitzvah. It's not that having the time in our mouth is itself a halacha. It means, in other words, that after the halacha, so to speak, has evaporated, we've already consumed the matzah. We've already eaten the carbon pesach. It's manshatei samid b'shoyakai. And that's the chiyuv. The chiyuv is ba'achlu ha'bosa ba'layla hazeh. The chiyuv is ba'erev tochlu matzah. Have you not fulfilled the mitzvah? Of course you have. So what's this inyan that the time of the mitzvah, the echo of the mitzvah, has to remain with you? The teretz is, you see from this din b'rabbanon that they imposed upon us, that they were concerned that we shouldn't lose it. So what is that? That's a cerebral thing, or that's an emotional, physical thing? So that's what we tell the Beinah Chacham. You're asking about Eivis Chukim Mishpatim, you're already splitting hairs. You're analyzing details. There's Eivis versus Chukim versus Mishpatim. He doesn't even say Moha Terah, but he splits it up very carefully in categories. These categories indicate a person that is now interested and involved in the logical aspects of Torah. We warn him By telling them the halacha, they must hear nachat esach afikoman, not to disregard the emotional sensitivity that Yiddishkeit suggests. Like you find in Hilchos HaPesach, which is so full of rules, the din of Eimashir Nachat Pesach HaPikoimon, which teaches us about emotions and Tam Matzah B'Suv, Tam Pesach B'Suv, that you extrapolate, Hilchos HaPesach, extrapolate of that halacha to all of the din in the Torah. That everything has its Tzad HaMachshava, but it also has its Tzad HaRegesh. Everything has its Tzad of abundance and careful analysis, the brutal objectivity, but also the emotional sensitivity and subjectivity which each person brings in his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one of the drushim that I suggested on specifically why this halacha specifically singled out, namely, Ein Mafkiru Acha HaPesach HaFikar. But in the revolution that was wrought with two little letters, Ayin Dalit, the revolution that was written was a totally different perception. But I think that whenever that's mentioned at the Seder table or whenever it is that you mention this, I don't think that it's given due credit and you don't properly understand the ramifications of what we're saying. If you, as long as we say Dr. Ein Mafkir Nachat Pesach HaFikoman, it's easy to say that halacha, even to analyze it somewhat, on the night of the Seder. The moment that we say that we're mechuyav to tell the Bein HaChacham all of the halachas of Pesach, there is a very poshut question that has to be raised. It's poshut mashayach. If I am committed to conveying to the Bein HaChacham as part of my sipur of the Tziyat Mitzrayim, I have an akhlai to convey to the Bein HaChacham all the halachos, ad ein matirin, v'ad v'chlal, from the beginning till the end. Then how is it conceivable that a person should be ever yotzei this chiyuv on the night of Pesach? It's mamish nashayach. Even b'rmizu akhava is probably impossible. But halachas kama v'kama in the proper dimension which the Bein HaChacham expects and deserves. I mean, it's precious. You can't even get past. First of all, it may even be only until chatzai. And even if it's until the morning, holy misafir b'tzias mitzrayim kol alaywa. So until the morning is how many more hours? How many more hours do you have? And those hours, you have a Maseches Pesachim that has 120 blocks plus. How are you possibly going to learn 120 blocks in a few hours? And that's Gemara. There's Mechilta and there's Sulchan Aruch and there's Rambam, and every issue is connected, as we mentioned earlier, that you practically have to know Kol HaTorah Kula. So obviously, what am I driving at? I'm driving at the following observation. You can come to one of two conclusions. Either you can come to the conclusion that Enoch and Nami, you do the best you can. In other words, what the Torah is telling you is as follows. The Haggadah is reflecting the Torah, like Tavenu Lassos is called Hukibayla. That the Haggadah is telling you, you are mechuyev to engage him in a discussion of Hilchos Pesach and get as far as you possibly can. And that's it. And once the Zman is over, whether it's Chatzal or Amud HaShachar, right? So whatever you got up to, you got up to. And that's the end of the mitzvah. So if a person is learning the halachos of Chametz and Matzah, and he doesn't get past the Chaninus Gan HaKohanim, you know, so fine. So he learned up to Daf Yud Gimel or whatever in the Masechta, and that's that. He's missing all the Pesukim called Shor, you're not properly expressing you're being a Ben Chayrin if you don't learn these halachos at all. So that's one approach. There is another approach. and that, namely, to ways of solving this problem, how is it possible to learn all the halachas of Pesach, the night of Pesach? You know what the answer, the other answer is? What's my alternative answer?
No, what is it?
No, assuming that that's what it means. What is my, what is the alternative answer? See, all of you are thinking, and man, it's very fascinating, because that's what I'm trying to be machadish. But I see the way your minds are working, that what I'm about to say is a very good thing. What's the alternative test?
I mean, the only area is not the one learning on his own.
Something along those lines. In other words, the Pesach night is the beginning of an agenda. It's the beginning of an adventure. Now, how can I even say such a thing? The parents says, you have to understand, it's the most amazing thing. You see, Yetzias Mitzrayim is an experience you have to revisit. Which basically, if you want to know the truth, when someone asks what Yetzias Mitzrayim all about, that question is really, what does it mean to be a Jew? Not who is a Jew biologically, in other words, what defines a Jew genetically, but really, what is a Jew? What does it mean to be a Jew? And when you speak to the Bein HaKochim, I repeat one more time. When the Torah, you're dealing here with revolutionary categories. This opens up such an awareness. What is Pesach night to the Bein HaKochim? So I told you, there is a mitzvah Talmud Torah. The mitzvah Talmud Torah is not what we are talking about today. In fact, it's very different from the mitzvah Talmud Torah, which is a fascinating thing. You can learn Torah for three reasons. Usually we split it up into two reasons. One reason that we learn Torah is because the ultimate purpose of Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah itself. Not any ulterior reason for learning. That's learned even after you know the Nasa. There's a nishma. So what is the, some of the Mepharshim say? What was in those words, Nasa the nishma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so excited about? He gave every Jew two crowns, Echad Keneged Nasa, Echad Keneged Nishma. The answer is, when a person has a blueprint, after the house is built, the blueprint is either put in the museum, or in the archives, or discarded. But nobody pays any attention to it anymore. What do you need a blueprint for? You have the house. If a person would learn Torah for the sake of fulfilling mitzvah, as long as he knew how to do the mitzvah, there would be no reason to review it, to repeat it, except to chazer over to make sure that you do the mitzvah. And the nafka mina would be, the consequence would be, that every time you learn something that's not nogea l'halacha, it's only that if you bana beis hamikdash, you should not forget how to do it. But again, for exclusively pragmatic, ulterior purposes. The concept of Torah is that the blueprint is itself a mitzvah. It's not just the blueprint. And that's Nasa, and even if the Nasa is achieved, the Tachlis is Hahidur, you still were learning the Halachos. A Pesach, a Sukkot, a Makeh, a Mezuzah, or whatever, Shita, or whatever it is that you're doing. Why? Why should a Yisrael learn the Halachos of a Kayin? It'll never be Negei Ahim. The Torah is because Torah is an end unto itself. And then, of course, there's the other aspect, which women are also obliged. That's one of the great naskaminas between these two aspects. A woman is not mechuyevet to learn the first level of Torah, but she is mechuyevet to learn all those halachos that are negeah to her, so we're able to understand what it is that is expected of her. And, of course, what is expected of a person can have a lot of nuances and great sophistication, so that she really has to learn a lot. Of course, with a certain perspective and a certain vision of what it's all about. She learns like a man. Not only is she making herself chalad, she's making her home chalad, she's making her husband chalad, and finally she's destroying Torah. That's the truth. Because the whole concept of learning when you have another achlayus is fatal to the whole enterprise of Yiddishkeit. Of course, no one who's doing it ever imagines that that's the chorban that she's wreaking, the havoc that she's wrecking or wreaking. Whatever it is, it's with a W, that's what I said. Anyhow, why not? Because Torah, she loves it, she's intrigued by it, she thinks it's Vah Hashem, I mean, she realizes it's Dva Hashem, and she's relating to it as Dva Hashem, and she wants to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're all good and wonderful reasons, and I'm not faulting anyone for having those meditations. But in the pursuit of a man's way of learning Torah, there is a total lack of Masera. She has not received the Masera. What Yiddishkeit is all about. It's really pathetic. I mean, that a person should be learning Torah Hashem without any sense of what Yiddishkeit is all about. I mean, Goyim can also learn Torah. It doesn't mean anything. But with such a mysterious message and such a Hislav, sometimes that they're better than the boys in many respects. And the girls, we have the girls' schools where they have high school level learning. And you'll find that the best, always, almost always, the best students are the girls. They take it more seriously, the Bachelor Marangiton and who knows what. So usually it's like this, the Bachelor Marangiton and the girls, and the girls Marangiton and the Gemara. That's usually how it is, you know.
Arangutan is involved in preoccupation. The bottom of Arangutan is the girls, and the girls are Arangutan in the
So the bottom know the girls, and the girls know the Gemara. Both of which is a churban, it's a Yiddishkeit.
Anyhow, the kids are Arangutai, that was just a happy little aside.
But the main point that I'm trying to make, of course, is that there's a second aspect of Torah, which is obviously shayach to them as well. Because the point of that learning is what? Is how to do. By the way, there's a very remarkable Rambam, which I quote, I may have mentioned it this year, perhaps not, but I mentioned it practically every year, and it's a very, very fascinating thing to me, because I suspect, I can't swear to it, I don't have enough to clinch it that I can swear to it, but I suspect that the Rambam has a concept that a katan may be mechuyev in mitzvos midaraisa. That I have such an idea that a katan should be mechuyev in mitzvos midaraisa. What do I mean? The Rambam has a halacha. How does a person who becomes bar mitzvah, you know, let's cut through, you know, the various, you know, discussions of it to come to the point. How does a bar mitzvah person know what to do the moment that he becomes bar mitzvah? He's mechuyev in mitzvah. That's second. Mechuyev in tefillin and kriyas shema and all the mitzvahs of the Torah. No, so. What it also is mechuyev in? In mitzvahs Talmud Torah for the first time. I mean, is that mechuyev in mitzvahs Talmud Torah earlier, just like not mechuyev in anything else earlier?
So how does the Kohen know what to do? How does the Bar Mitzvah Bachur know how to put on the tzum? That the tzum shoyah goes here, and the Rosh goes exactly here, and not here, and not here, and not down, like they have in the sutras, you know, on top of it, between his eyes, as it were. Bachur, bachur.
How does he know all these things? Because it's somebody he's already spoken to. He's been informed. That basically is rooted in the mitzvah Talmud Torah of a parent. That a parent's mechuyev to teach his child is not only a mitzvah chinuch, it's also a mitzvah Talmud Torah. So the dinim of mitzvahs and halachos have already been conveyed to him, so that the moment that he becomes a mitzvah, he is aware of what to do, and now he's mechuyev to do it. What happens if there's no father? Or whatever the reason is, no one has conveyed these halachos to him. So he cannot wait. So the answer is he's mechuyev to take care of himself. That's the answer. I mean, the makom she'ein rishis tadal lo'ez rish. You have to do it yourself. And then is this chiyuv
for him to take care of himself. So what would anyone normally answer? When is, I'm talking about the d'oraisa level, when is any d'oraisa incumbent upon a person?
At the age of 13 in a day, 12 in a day.
So if, in fact, that would be the case, then unfortunately there would be a lot of faltering and grappling and many errors, I suppose, at the beginning, because not knowing how to perform mitzvahs, and it's very hard to start learning the Shulchan Aruch at mamish at the moment that you're mechuyev to do the mitzvah. It's almost impossible. So at the beginning we'll have to forgive him. The first thing is Einus Rachmona Patrim. For the first couple of weeks, months, whatever it takes, until finally he gets the hang of it by learning the halachos, and then he starts doing the mitzvahs. But when does his personal chiyuv begin, l'chaira? At the age of 13? And that's what I would have said. But it's a very, very fascinating Rambam that seems to me to indicate the opposite. That the chiyuv of the katan midyaraisa
is to learn so that he's ready to begin doing the mitzvahs exactly at the age of 13 in a day.
Normally, he can afford to expect that his father will take care of him,
or whoever substitutes for that. But lo yitzuya lo lindo avi, says the Rambam, the chayav lelamed es atzmo, and is a very, very remarkable expression, Mishayakir, like Mishayakir ben chelos lelova. Mishayakir, what does Mishayakir mean? When he recognizes his lack, when he recognizes the need. In other words, because otherwise it makes no sense, Mishayakir. He should have said, chayav lelamed es atzmo. And when a chayav lelamed es atzmo would have been? From the time of Bar Mitzvah on, just like any other mitzvah. But the Rambam doesn't say from the time of Bar Mitzvah, and he doesn't even say Stam, which would mean the time of the Bar Mitzvah. He tells you from when. Chayav lelamed es atzmo mishayakir. And then the Rambam goes into an agenda with psukim and with hasbeirim and with a gemara, famous chazal, which doesn't seem to have anything to do with the issue at hand. Namely, that the katan is mechuyev to take care of this. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, "Is mechuyev lelamed es atzmo mishayakir shenemar." Quote the pasuk: "Ulamadetem otam ushmaratem la'asotam." You should learn the Torah and be careful to do it, to keep the Torah, to perform the mitzvah. Learn the Torah, perform the mitzvah. And then the Rambam says, and now we find that Talmud is greater than Maaseh b'chol makom. L'sisha ha-Talmud maybe b'day Maaseh, v'ein ha-Maaseh maybe b'day Talmud. I mean, this Rambam, you probably don't know, not that there's anything wrong with what he's saying, but the stringing together of these points and the use of this pasuk leaves one completely confused. Let's read the Rambam in five. Perek Aleph of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Very remarkable Rambam. This is all in the, to emphasize the second aspect of Torah. The first aspect of Torah is Torah Lishma. Just purely for learning to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah. The second aspect is Torah which leads to Asiyas Mitzvah. That's what we're talking about right now. So the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says, Perek Aleph. Halacha Gimel. Second line of Halacha Gimel. Is the chiyuv for a father to teach his son and even to hire a malanit, correct? So even to pay a malanit. Then the Rambam says, Mi shelo lindo aviv. Mi shelo lindo aviv. Chayov lelamed es atzmo kishayakir shenema ulamadetem osam ushmatim la'asosam v'chein ha'temosi b'chol mokom sh'atalmud kodem l'maisa v'chein sh'atalmud meydi l'idei maisa v'chein ha'maisa meydi l'idei talmud. Well, really, I mean, I quoted it as reasonable though. What's going on here? What does the Rambam want? I'll tell you what the Rambam wants, what I think. The Rambam is telling us here that there are three psukim of Talmud Torah in the Torah. Two of them speak about father and son. Which are those two? All of you know it. Trippingly upon your tongues. Every single day you say it at least twice, maybe three times. And therefore you know it all clearly about that. Vishinam tam levanecha v'dibar tavam. Right? The maritim also is b'nechem l'gadevam. Both of these psukim tell me two yisaitis, not just one, two yisaitis. Number one, that is the chiyuv of a father to teach the son. It does not speak about learning yourself. It speaks about a father teaching the son, which, of course, as you know, also means, not just as a derivative, but inherently, a rebbe teaching the Talmud. Talmidim are banim elu ha-talmid. So we might as well come as b'neichem, or correct? That's one yisod, that it's father to child, rebbe to talmud. But there's another very major yisod. There isn't anything here that indicates the absolute connection of libra Torah leading to maaseh. There's no agenda for this Torah learning except the learning for its own sake. But then there's one other pasuk. That's the pasuk that this Rambam quotes. Ulamanatem osam, ushmaratem la'asosam. What's ulamanatem osam? You should learn. Who should learn? First point that we have is Vishnantam Lubanecha, Rebbe to Talmud, father to son. What's missing? There's no Rebbe and there's no father. Ulamaratem osam, you yourself should learn it. Ulamaratem osam. You plural, but it's you yourself. It's not limaratem, it's limaratem. You should learn. There's no Rebbe here. Number two point, whereas in Shema, in both Pashiyot, which as much as they are different, and there are subtle differences between the two that are very, very important, but Alpha PK, in this respect, they're the same. There's Rebbe and Talmud, father and son, and there's also no agenda. Here there's an agenda. It's explicit. Now, actually, we could have said there's no agenda here either. You're supposed to learn the mitzvahs, and you're also supposed to do the mitzvahs. In other words, we could have interpreted this pasuk without the Rambam and the Chazal, which the Rambam is referring to. We could have interpreted the pasuk as saying very pasuk. You can't be just a learner of Torah. If you don't practice what you preach, if you don't practice the Torah that you learn, then you're not worth mutav shetehasek shulyasa alpanos. I, learning is such a gewaldic mitzvah. One of these days, Bli Neder, the Bli Shvua, I'd like to bring into you, photocopy, and learn together with you a remarkable tshuva of the Maharit concerning this concept. Somebody said that, you know, whatever averis you do, you learn Torah, and it's like a mitzvah that cleanses you from everything. And he goes on and on, about how such a posture, such an approach, that Torah somehow is connected to Kulam, connected any Aveira, is the most dangerous and corrupt corruption of Yerusha. So clearly I could have interpreted here it's important to learn, ulamaritam also, but it's also important to do. But the Rambam has A to B. The Rambam doesn't say it's important to learn and it's important to do. It's important to learn, what preposition would you stick in here? In order to do. That's how the Rambam learns it. And the Rambam adds, why is Talmud kodem lamasa? Shahat Talmud mezi lidei masa. So what's the Rambam driving at over here? Why is there a place where there's a mitzvah not in the usual classic context of Maseya, Rebbe to Talmud, a father to son? So what was the answer that the Rambam provided? Because there will come up a Hedekinta where someone will have to discover Torah on his own. Now that mitzvah of Limud HaTorah is in this pasuk. And what is this pasuk talking about? This pasuk is talking about a limud which is leading to masa, which has a shaychus to masa, and which precedes masa. So the Rambam says, if you add it all up, you come up with the following. A person who's taught by his father, he knows what to do. And a person who's taught by his father, he's involved in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. However, there's going to be a person who is not taught by his father. He's going to be in a matzav where he has to be ulamaratam also. That person who's not taught by his father will have, of course, the agenda of learning kolatera kula also. He's going to have to speak out already, and he's going to have the agenda of learning kolatera kula. But there's a prior worry, a prior concern, a prior preoccupation, because the learning of kolatera kula is a lifelong endeavor. But what's going to be when he hits bar mitzvah with all the ma'aseh that requires the understanding and the halachos before he can do the ma'aseh? That's a more immediate agenda, because that hits the fan at the age of gadlus. So what do you do about that? So the Rambam says, Mishayakir, from the moment that he's capable of his cognizance, he is already obligated by the Torah, I suspect, Because he quotes a pasuk. Why? Because the lematitem osam is before shmatim lasosam. When is shmatim lasosam? 13 years in a day. And then you already have to be ready, mukhan and mezulan, to do everything the way you're supposed to do it. So the kitzur, if we acknowledge a mitzvah of limud ha-Torah, which is exclusively one aspect of limud ha-Torah, which is exclusively for the sake of what? Of doing the mitzvahs correctly, and of course, this man as well, he has a much better feeling for that. In America, I mean, there was a total disintegration of this whole perception. Mitzvahs, they're not just mitzvahs anoshim ulumada, without any sense of what you're doing in terms of kavana, the chulu v'chulu. It was also the amarasis was so incredible that people were doing mitzvahs without any attention to the mitzvah. You know, all these like stam, these sofrei stam, vad mishneres stam. So they started being bodek mezuzah. It wasn't quite the number of years. But when they started, so what's the chiddush of being bodek mezuzah? It's the most simple thing in the world. If there's a scandal that's not writing the mezuzahs correctly, or if they're printing the mezuzahs, or if the nails are not prepared, or whatever it is, even if it's writing it perfect. So of course none of these mezuzahs have any value. And you want to do the mitzvah, you don't want to do the mitzvah. So why wasn't there a lot of mishmeres tam 50 years ago? It's a chashid, it's a tzvam shuvim. The Torah says people didn't have any haftarah of mitzvah, even though they were putting mezuzahs on their doors, and even though they cared about a mezuzah, having a mezuzah. A mezuzah is a mezuzah. You go to a store, you buy a mezuzah. There was nobody that was plugged into the halachas enough that he really understood that a mezuzah may not be a mezuzah. And in a certain sense, he didn't care either, because you know what creates a concern for mitzvahs? The Torah of that mitzvah. That's the truth. If you're plugged into the Torah of the mitzvah, you really care about the mitzvah 1,000 times more. So when they started giving people an awareness, all of a sudden there's a revolution. And it's amazing. I mean, you know, what people discover, the corruptions, the scandals notwithstanding, there is an incredible revolution of hatzlacha in the mitzvah, because I'm bringing the mitzvah back to life. The question, each mitzvah needs a goel, needs a malach ha-goel. And you have sometimes a mitzvah that has a malach ha-goel. When you see it happening, you discover what it means to do a mitzvah with l'umaritam al-tzom, v'shmaritam la-tzom, or just an attempt of v'shmaritam la-tzom without l'umaritam al-tzom before. Of course, it's not shy. So my mitzvah bocher has already to know, so I'm suggesting that he has a chiyuv to know, and that's the umaritimotum which precedes. So you ask me, but how could a cotton have any chiyuvim? We know the rule that a cotton is not chiyuv in mitzvah. So what I'm suggesting is it's almost like a lamachreya. The chiyuv really is to do the mitzvah. But since you will not be able to do the mitzvah unless you know the halacha, then you have two choices. You can revoke on this Rahmana Patre and say, when he gets 13, if he doesn't know how to do the mitzvah, it's just too bad, give him now time to learn. And I'm suggesting that the way the Rambam understood the Pasuk, Ulamaritam Osam Ushmaritam La'asosam, means what? That you have to learn in order to do, because the mitzvah is supposed to be done to Shlom Musa from the first second of 13 years in the day. The Redemption doesn't give you that on this Rahmana Patre. So how do you do the mitzvah b'shloim musa right away? What's the answer? You have to learn it in advance. So the machayiv of the mitzvah kind of pulls back in time to a time when he's still a katan, and it's machayiv him to learn then. Mishayakim. This mitzvah to learn to do is only the second aspect of Talmud Torah. It's a third kind of Talmud Torah, and that's what I'm suggesting to you now. In the Bein HaChacham, Ad Atom Merlok Yuchus HaPetach, Ein Maskirin, means Ad Ein Maskirin Ad HaPetach HaPikon. There is a Talmud Torah whose agenda, which has also an agenda. The first Talmud Torah has no agenda. Learning for learning's sake. The second Talmud Torah has an agenda. You have to learn in order to know what to do. What's the third Talmud Torah? The third Talmud Torah's agenda is that in the process of learning, you are defining, or redefining, and refining the definition of what it means to be a Jew. In other words, it's an existential mitzvah. It's a question of how a person is related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but particularly in the context of all of Klal Yisrael. It's almost like if you ask, what is the history of Klal Yisrael, that's the choice.
And that's really the two aspects of speaking here, which are. One way of dealing with conveying the history of Klal Yisrael
is to talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with Klal Yisrael historically. You can speak of, you know, all the person of the Hechatimsa, of the seaport.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, and then Avraham Avinu did put the Yankiv, and after we're going to deal with Mitzrayim,
and all of the details, as much as the person can handle, so he gets a full-blown picture of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to Klal Yisrael.
In that piece that I'm writing, that I wrote about Shir HaShirim, I point out that according to most Rishonim,
and according to the Medrash as well, the whole of Shir HaShirim is an allegory concerning the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael throughout their history. Golus and Geula, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael, Churban, v'chulu, v'chulu.
So that's one way of understanding the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, or to put it differently,
one way of relating to the history of Klal Yisrael. But there's a very different way. That way, you'd expect, is a kind of a universal phenomenon. Every non-Jew could also relate to that. He can understand a sequence of events from a historical perspective.
Although, as the Rav used to point out there from Tanakh Yisrael for many, many, many times, the sense of history that the Jew has is almost diametrically opposite to the sense of history that a Goy has. Because the Goy does not have the future determining the past. He really has the past determining the future. The Goy has cause and effect. That's all he knows.
But he doesn't have agenda, because there's no higher force. I don't mean the Goy that believes and has, you know, whatever they believe in. I'm talking about a person who doesn't have this belief structure. He does not have any sense of the future determining the past.
It can't be, because the future is nothing but the result of what the past has created.
That's the principle of cause and effect.
But if there is no cause, there cannot be an effect. How can you have an effect that creates the cause of a matriarch?
But the Rebbe Shalom, as an agent manipulating the forces of history, has an agenda. He needs Bnei Yisrael to go into Mitzrayim. He will then manipulate events so that Bnei Yisrael end up in Mitzrayim. So what is coming first? Where's the chicken and where's the egg? What's the horse and what's the car?
The future is pulling the past. There's an agenda for Yemot HaMashiach. There's an agenda for the destiny of the world.
And that agenda determines things with Matreya as much as the today determines the future, and perhaps more so. So therefore, there's a very big Siddush in that history as well. But nevertheless, it's a concept of history.
There's another kind of history of Klal Yisrael, which is an abstraction, but a history nonetheless.
And it's not telling over the stories, and not telling over the sequence of events, but plugging in existentially, in a very, very large sense, I mean, the word is correct, what it means to be a Jew in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
As in other words, instead of explaining how it happens, you're explaining what it is. But it's also an agenda. It's not that you're learning Shosh and Ogach HaSaporah because you want to know Shosh and Ogach HaSaporah.
That's the ultimate, by the way, the ultimate Kiyum HaMitzvah. Don't get me wrong. But there's an aspect of learning how to do, and there's another aspect of learning, because learning means self-identification, self-realization of the history of a Jew. It's a very sophisticated thought,
but you let it grow on you for a while and you'll discover how powerful it is.
When we are told that we have two approaches that are available to us on the night of Pesach, I want to make it clear, the agenda is not Talmud Torah. Even the sheepists that say that learning halachos is just as much simply a Tiyas Mitzrayim, for the one who can understand it, for the Bein HaFafam, as telling the story, and maybe even more so, no one is saying that because he's saying there's a mitzvah to teach Torah on the night of Pesach. There is no mitzvah to teach Torah, the Torah's Talmud Torah, on the night of Pesach, any more than at any other night throughout the year.
The Higadah Talmud Vincha is not the Mimarizah Vincha. It's the Higadah Talmud Vincha.
So what's going on? How can you have a Higadah Talmud Vincha which expresses itself not in the story, but in the learning of dry halachas?
The answer is because if you understand that there's a tachlis to the story, this isn't the story because we want to tell a story. It's interesting, it's intriguing. You have to tackle what happened next.
But because we want to define through the story the relationship of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then maybe,
and in fact not maybe, but there is another way which the Jew has at his disposal, which ultimately is the better way.
And that is by plugging into Limud HaTorah.
But again, it's an agenda. The agenda is to sense, to have the intimations of being a people of Hashem.
What does it mean to be the people of Hashem? What is the Abdus of Chayrus? What's Eimecha ben Chayrus? Ela Misha Osef Batorah, V'chulu, V'chulu, V'chulu.
Therefore, it's very, very important the following corollary,
which gets back to the question that I asked you earlier. How is it possible to learn all of the halachas? So I suggested one answer is you do as much as you can at Heichon Sheyado Magad, and more than that, you're not mechuyev.
When the cock crows, you know, when the rooster makes his noises, and we know that it's Amud HaShachar,
then whatever you got up to, you got up to, and then you go daven. And that's the end of the mitzvah.
Or no. The mitzvah begins on the night of the Seder and continues how long you're listening?
Basically forever. Basically forever. So if you really understand the concept of this mitzvah, you realize that it's not Tfila.
Every year, let me ask you something else. You
rediscover a Ribbono Shel Olam that you never knew. You discover a Ribbono Shel Olam that you know just as well the day before Pesach as the day on Pesach itself. That's the concept of Sipur. Sipur means not a re-learning of something either. It is the consciousness that is asked of us. And it's the if I happen to be learning because of last year's Mechayez, I still have the field now to be conscious of the same Mechayez all over again.
If somebody's learning on the night of Pesach, and you ask him, why are you learning? Because of this CPSCS Mitzrayim, so to speak, or because you haven't finished 20 years ago CPSCS Mitzrayim, it's not a theory at all.
If he says, I'm doing both. I'm doing all 20, so to speak. Here's not a question of marrying a woman and leaving room for another person and the third person and the fourth person. We have a shayla, the condition of power.
There's no fear. Every year is the machayah to have that relationship back when the which through the learning of Torah, and the agenda of Torah is an unending agenda. It's correct. It's absolutely right.
Now, the one question that the Maharal, for example, wanted to answer with this notion of learning the halachas on the night of the Seder was a very simple question.
We know that the answer to the Beinah Chacham begins with what?
What does the Torah begin, the answer to the Beinah Chacham? Avodim hayinu v'parav v'hitzrayim. Ki yishach habim chamach aleim ha-mo'edus achub v'nashkotim. What do you answer him? Amarka lo, avodim hayinu v'parav v'hitzrayim.
And in fact, that's how we begin our Sifrit Yisrael Mitzrayim
Pesach. Mishtana, the answer is Avodim Ayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim. What's perturbing, and which of course everyone notices who reads the statement of the Haggadah later on, Af Ata Emar Lo, what should have been the answer? Af Ata Emar Lo, Avodim Ayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim.
Because if we are saying Chacham Olomer, meaning that that's connected to Abba Abonim, and one of them is a Chacham, and the Torah has a parasha which describes the Chacham, so what does the Torah say should be the answer?
The Torah itself is giving you words. Why do you have to give your own words? Why are you substituting for Avodim Hayinu the words Ein Maftirin Acha HaPesach HaPikonim? What's going on? That's really the question. What's going on?
So the Maharal says very simple. It's not that we are substituting anything.
if you look at the psukim, don't be so blind and so premature as to stop reading after the first pasuk. Read the entire answer to the Bein HaChacham,
and then you'll begin to understand each other.
What's the answer to the Bein HaChacham? No? Let's read it. Wait. Hashem created all these miracles in front of us. Go on.
So Osanu Osim Ishbi Sham a big one with the earth, Hashem Yishpala Rakinu.
Right. The journey, he took us out of Mitzrayim to give us the land which he promised us, our forefathers. Now the Maharal says, read the rest of it. And by, this is all part of the answer to the Bein HaChacham. By Yitzaveinu,
Hashem
has that. So in other words, the entire answer begins with the words what? What does it begin with? And it concludes by Yitzaveinu Hashem Elokeinu Hashem La'asos Et Kol HaChukim La'ilu. That's the Maharal. He says the reason Akafra and Marlo Kihilchus HaPesach is because they went to the jugular. They went to the main point. Since there are a series of points, a lesser point, so to speak, and a larger point, they went immediately to the larger point. Of course you start with Avodim Ayinu, and that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do. We start with Avodim Ayinu, and then we discuss Halacha.
What do you think Kineged Avodim Dibur Torah is doing in the Haggadah?
What's it doing here? Now, on the night of the Seder, it's time to start figuring out that there are four sons. Now it's time to do. You have one son like this, talk to him like this. If you have another son like that, talk to him like that. But to tell you that part of the Haggadah is the instruction. You ever see somebody that is being asked to read the recipe while he's eating the cake? What are you being asked to read the recipe now? The recipe is when you're ready to bake the cake. Now that you're eating the cake, you don't have to read the recipe anymore. Did you ever, for example, Kiddush? Did you ever imagine that somebody Friday night will tell a person, you know what Kiddush is?
Kiddush is, first learn Hilchos Kiddush in the Shulchan Aruch, but out loud with everybody sitting there, and then launch into the Kiddush itself.
Or in the Kiddush, say Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Kitshanu Mimtzos Ratzavanu, you know, and tell the halachos of Kol Shavrecha, and tell the halachos of Kiddush, and that there's a Kiddush Deraita that you had to go to in davening, and there's a Kiddush Deraita that you have to be Alakos, and it has to be B'makom Seuda, and all of the other parts of Kiddush.
And you never heard of such a thing.
So why in the Haggadah, when you're supposed to be busy now telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, do you start giving the instructions, the directions, the halachos, the recipe? I mean, it makes no sense. Unless you understand that we do it because the learning of the halachos is the greatest level of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, not because we're mechuyev to learn Torah that night any more than any other night. It's not a mitzvah of Torah. It's a mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the amazing thing is, and this is a revolutionary idea, I guarantee you that not one of you would ever have thought of this in a million years. And neither would I.
That the mitzvah of tikkun, you see, as Mitzrayim, is accomplished when a person gets up and says, and listen to me, Shor shenogach hakapara. What's the din? Now you'll notice I'm not saying ein matir nachatempachatikoyim, and I'm not saying it has to be a kazayis of matzah, and I'm not telling you that there are five minim of morah and all of the other things that are negaya pesach. How in the world can anybody imagine that Shor shenogach hakapara is not going a little bit too far? Isn't that getting a little bit too extreme?
The answer is because if you understand that the halachos of Pesach to know what to do is too late now.
And like, wow, what does that have to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So what am I gaining by learning the halachos of the night of the Seder? That by learning the halachos somehow I'll remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim? Absolutely not. This isn't a vehicle to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. This learning is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Why? How could it be? That's the point, says the Maharal. I mean, I'm elaborating on what the Maharal says.
But that's the whole point of what is the answer to the Bein Hechacha. If you know, for example, that a certain event occurred, but it occurred for a reason.
I'll give you an example. There's an inauguration of a king, a coronation of a king,
inauguration of a president. So somebody who wants to describe the inauguration can describe, there was a crown, and this person stood there with a pillow made of satin and velvet, and the crown was on top of the pillow. And he went like this, and he grew it. And then a little child picked it up and put it on another pillow and gave it to this person, who was the, you know, whatever, the chief chamberlain, or chambermaid, or whatever they're called. And then he gave this one to his, and finally the crown got to the king, and he put it on top of his head, and everybody started yelling, "Long live the king!" Gesunde und Sanft. That's one way of describing the coronation. Another way of describing the coronation is that there's a king, and this is what we're mechuyev to do for the king, and this is what we're mechuyev to do for the king, and this is what we're mechuyev to do for the king. That's a different perception of a coronation. But if you ask, what is the real description of a coronation? Who cares that it put a crown on top of the person's head?
If this, in fact, is happening on a lot in Disneyland, and is an imitation of something,
for people to make people happy, it's a meaningless event. And there's absolutely no point in describing it b'chlal. The tachlis of something is the description of the thing itself. That's the point that we are discovering. It's a revolution. And that's why we cannot possibly restrict it to the halachos of Pesach. It's not shayach. Because the whole point is halacha. Halacha is any halacha. The Rebbe used to say this many times.
So then why do we say the halacha is of secrecy of Mitzrayim? Why don't we say Shor Shenogach HaSafara?
So the answer is this. After all is said and done, they're both the same. So why pick something that's extremely removed from what we're doing tonight when we can plug into what we're doing tonight? But basically, more than that, it isn't. If a person would insist on spending the rest of the night, listen to me carefully, I'm telling you halacha l'maisa. If you would insist on spending the rest of the night after the Haggadah is over, the Sakha B'tziyas Mitzrayim Kol HaLaila, in taking out a Gemara Baba Basra and chazering over the Tosfos that we learned,
then you're the Kayim and Mitzvah of Sipri B'tziyas Mitzrayim.
It's untold. It's an incredible thing. The Mekayim, a mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because learning the halachas, learning Torah, is understanding what a Jew is, klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Now, that being the case, the answer is not you do as much as you can, but that it's an agenda that you've begun that night because it compels me.
In other words, what is the point? What is being asked by the Bain?
The Bain is saying, what's it all about?
Because if the Bain wouldn't be asking what is it all about, but he wants to know just the content of the Eidus Vachukim Mishpatim, why in the world should the father answer, Avodim Oyinu L'Pavim Mitzrayim? Let him just start teaching him. Brachas, and then Peah, and then Kilayim, and whatever else. to the Torah, because he's not asking for the content of Torah. It's not a mitzvah Talmud Torah, as I told you.
What's he asking? He's asking raison d'etre. He's asking about being, about the existence of the Jew.
What is it all about? What is it all for? So the answer is, Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, it's all mitzvah HaTorah.
So if that's the case, if you go to the jugular and you aim for mitzvah HaTorah, you will explain the whole thing to him.
Now naturally, not out of Limud Torah, but out of the comprehension that this is where it's all at, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael.
You start that night, every Pesach night, you'll ask, what's the agenda to an intelligent person? What's the chiyuv, secret? What's the agenda?
The agenda is to once again, once a year, that's exactly right, once a year, there has to be an engaging, that's, by the way, you go through the motions anyhow. You go through the question, which everyone has to ask, Manishtana Alay Lazeh. You go through the question, Ma'edus Achukim Mishpatit. What's it all about? And you answer, tell you.
That's exactly right. And believe me, had Klal Yisrael paid attention to this perspective,
not only would their Pesach be different, but there would be a lot more for meeting today.
And that's the Bein HaKocha.
He asked Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how? What? And the answer, Chukim, Eidus, and Mishpatim. By Tzaveinu, La'asos, Es Kol HaChukim, Ha'eila, Li'yira, Es Hashem Elokeinu,
V'tov Lanu Kol HaYomim, L'chayim Beinu Ka'yom HaZeh. The secret of Klal Yisrael, creation.
The secret of, there are three points made here. It's the secret of the creation of Klal Yisrael. What made Klal Yisrael? What makes a nation? What makes a nation out of another nation? Or kachas mo goy mikeres goy? The secret of the, how should I put it? The realization of the nation, the self-reactualization. What is the nation doing on this earth?
That's what Tovlonu Kol Hayomim. That this is how,
this is what is good about living, this is what it means to live as a Jew, L'tov Lanu Kol HaYomim. And finally, the third point, that the eternity of Klal Yisrael,
the secret of Klal Yisrael's eternity is Torah.
Its existence, its creation, because you know what it is? It's Avar, Hoveh, and Atid.
If you look at the Tzukim, Avodim Ayinu B'chulu B'chulu by Tzareinu Hashem Elokeinu Lassus of Kol HaChukim Ba'Eila is the other.
L'tov Lanu Kol HaYomim is the Hoda. L'chayoseinu K'Hayom Hazeh is the Ofid. It always keeps us alive.
Or vice versa, L'tov Lanu Kol HaYomim is the Ofid L'chayoseinu K'Hayom Hazeh is the Hoda. But either way, we are aiming at all three aspects.
It's the entire history of Klal Yisrael deflected and reflected by the relationship through Torah.
That's by Tzaveinu La'asot and Kol HaChukim. That's the answer Bo Ha'edus La'Chukim Mishpatim deserves.
So when do you start this answer? At the time that the question is supposed to be asked. It's almost like there's a Rosh Hashanah for the Torah way of understanding the history of Klal Yisrael. It's a Rosh Hashanah.
It begins a year. And the agenda continues. And it even overlaps, as I suggested to you. And it keeps overlapping.
I may be learning today for 20 years worth of questions of what we're all about.
And every year I'm asked to start again.
So in that context, I promised you that I would read to you the words of, we've got very far in the sugya of Ein Mafkir Achat Pesach HaMikolma, Baruch Hashem. But in a way, this is maybe even more important. Listen to the words of Rav Moshe. It's Shevet Yerubei Gimel, Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, 131, as I told you yesterday.
V'hagodah v'tshuva l'chocha. V'av ato emor lo kihuchus ha-pesach, ein matir acha ha-pesach ha-pikoyma.
Shepirusho, של החוכם, אין היסד בתשובה קצרה בשעת אמירת ההגדה אליו. He already takes it for granted. So the bein hachochom yutake are not yotzei the tshuva of the amiras hahagodah.
You're not yotzei, you're not an amiras. Shehi tshuva arucha, it's a long tshuva, shetzorich lelamdo ad sheyeda kol hilchos hatetah.
Because he learns, apatua molo, shehilchos hatetah, ad ein maspir achatetah hachatetah. Shehu kol hamasechet. Now listen to this.
That's bad. It's kol hamasechet. Kol hamasechet, you can learn like a fifth grader. You can learn it like a tenth grader. You can learn it like someone who's learning sasmicha.
And you can learn it like somebody who has to pass the shayus. So how are you mechuyav to learn it? So he said, shehi tshuva arucha shetzorich lelamdo ad sheyeda kol hilchos hatetah. Shehu kol hamasechet ad sheyuchal lehoros halacha lemaisa, until he can be a mora horah to pass the shaylus halacha lemaisa hilchos peisach. One of the hardest things, by the way, to accomplish. Shehu gam b'ha'echus, which includes the quality of the learning, not just the quantity. Lehavin also im kol pirusha yaboseinu Rashi v'toytzus ha'poiskim k'talmid chacham gadol. You hear what the voice is writing?
The chiyuv of Pesach night is to begin an agenda which extends to all of Masechet Pesachim,
includes all of the halachos, the kamus of the echus, to the madrega where a person is able to pass the shaylos like a Talmid Chacham Gadol, who knows the depth of understanding is based on a knowledge of Rashi, Tosfos, and all the places. Then he says, so, alright, Baruch Hashem, finally we got through Masechet Pesachim. It's a move on. The Me'acha Sheshayel Al Kol Ha'edus V'achukim HaMishpatim. Since the Son is asking about everything, Shehu Tzorech Lelamdo Kol HaShas. And he says, why mention, therefore, in the Haggadah,
Shehokai HaTetah? He says, it's asking what the Lord used to say.
Why did he mention just this Maseches? Because he has more of a Shaychus to the Yom Tov of Pesach. In other words, the agenda here is that he's supposed to be taught Kol HaTorah. But I found a remarkable thing. If you connect with what Moshe is saying to what I am saying, you come up with an incredible conclusion.
We normally expect that certain kinds of knowledge, certain layers or levels of knowledge, are appropriate according to the agenda of the person that has to have that knowledge. For example, if you're a theoretical physicist, you're
working on a very, very high madrega,
it may be necessary for you to know certain things that a practical engineer of physics doesn't have the slightest interest in or tzorech for, and vice versa.
Some of the day-to-day nitty-gritties of what an engineer is mechuyev to know and to deal with is not the province of the theoretical physicist of life. Now we are asking ourselves here,
what is this person's agenda? If the person's agenda was Mitzvah's Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah is no question. We know what Talmud Torah is.
That's to know Kol HaTorah Kula, the Talmud of the Eichus. Yeah. But is our agenda here Talmud Torah? I've already established that it's definitely not.
As I told you again, there are three concepts of Talmud Torah really that exist.
Limud HaTorah, which is the ultimate Talmud Torah for its own sake. Limud HaTorah, which is also Talmud Torah, but from the Pasuk Ulamadetam Osam Ushmaitim Rasosam, which is a Limud which is maybe Libe Maaseh. And then there's the Limud HaTorah, which has a completely separate agenda of people you see at Mitzrayim, of defining self-definition and self-realization. Our awareness of who we are vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as particularly as Klal Yisrael, not so much as a Yachid, but a Klal Yisrael. In this third definition, what does a person have to be the Gadol HaDor for? As long as he plugs into learning, that's enough. But Moshe says no.
You have to learn it in a manner that makes of a person the highest madrega. So I was wondering why. Why should I have to learn it that way?
You know why? Because nothing else is Torah. That's why. There's no such thing as a lightweight player and a heavyweight player. There's no such thing as a little medrash says and a big medrash says. Unfortunately, when you have a child, I don't mean unfortunately, fortunately, but when you have a child, you have to chanoich lanar al pi dako. Because the child's brain is still developing, and the child's personality and his understanding of the world is still developing as well. So obviously you cannot expect of a child that complete understanding and awareness that you can expect of an adult. But the agenda doesn't change. The agenda of Torah is the same. And just like a child, if you really ask, does he know Chumash? Of course he doesn't know one word of Chumash. So then Avraham Avinu and Sarah, by him it's all stories, cute stories, children's stories. We approach Avraham Avinu, this is with an Akedah Yitzchak, with Yitzchak Alamo, and with an Arachayim HaKadosh, and with a Ramban, and a Kuyoka, and a Medrash, and it's from the Gemara, with an Ein Yankis, and an Iyun Yankis, and a Mahasha, and a Dodis, and it's all the same with all the stuff. It's Kalat Sayyukulu like that. It's only one Torah. And if you know less than that, you don't have to know every shot to be a Thomas Chacham Gadol also, but you understand what I'm driving at. To really not know is not Thomas Torah, it's not Torah. So even if the mitzvah isn't mitzvah Thomas Torah, but you have to know by Tzadeinu La'asof is Kol HaChukim Ha'Eimah. You have to know the Chukim Ha'Eimah. Otherwise you don't know what the Torah is about. And if a person doesn't know what Torah is about, then the amazing consequence is that a person doesn't know what being a Jew is all about. Doesn't know what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. That's an amazing thing. On my own, I never would have gone that far. On my own, I would have said, it's enough if you plug into learning. To know Kol HaTorah Kula, the agenda is, Reb Moshe's statement is mamish, an incredible statement. That the agenda is to learn everything, because only then do you have the answer what it's all about.
So they tell Aniyim b'makom echor v'ashirim b'makom achor. That's an incredible statement. Mamish an incredible statement.
The kitzur, let's begin. I will continue Bezus Hashem tomorrow.
The Mishnah says, "I'm not here now for Pesach Hashukai." Close your tent on the To make it simple for you, there are three opinions in the Gemara.
What "ein matir nacha pesach afikomen" means. Gemara says, what's afikomen? But what it really means is, what does it mean, "ein matir nacha pesach afikomen"?
By the way, the word matir, what does matir mean? What is matir? What's matir?
Right. It's subsequent. It may be the last thing that you do.
It's something that indicates that other things preceded it, correct? Now, if you ate the carbon Pesach, ain't Masir and Atah Pesach.
You don't do anything after the carbon Pesach that acts and functions as Asikomen. Now, what is that? So Ralph says, you're not supposed to go eat in another Chabura. Hashem now appears to go eat in another Chabura. To tell me that I'm not supposed to eat the carbon Pesach in another Chabura, I don't need Rav, and I don't need this Mishnah. That's already an established halacha earlier in the Masechta. But Rav says, what this Mishnah is adding is, that not only can I not eat of their carbon Pesach, I can't go to another Chabura to eat eggs! Why not? Why can't I eat eggs somewhere else? There's no Easter to eat eggs somewhere else. If I eat there anything, I'll end up eating the Seir Korban Pesach, because that's what they're involved in. So I'm going to end up, willy-nilly, whether I like it or not, I'm going to end up doing something that I'm offered to do. So there was a Gzeira, don't eat anything at all. That's Rav. Rav learns, however, in your own home, in your own Chabura, then after the Korban Pesach is eaten, you're certainly permitted to continue eating. Eggs and chicken and whatever else you feel like.
Shmuel and Yochanan are not as generous.
they are more machmir. And they say, even if you don't go anywhere, once you ate your Pesach, after the Pesach you cannot eat any desserts, anything else. And here is the Machlokes Rishonim, whether Shmuel is Mechulek on Rav Yochanan, or basically they're just giving different examples, but they're not Mechulek at all. What does Shmuel say? The Gemara says, my Afikarma, so Rav says, Shmuel says, Kavonu Zalai, we, who goes Zalai Allah. What's Zalai? And goes Zalai, so again, his Machlok is what Zalai is. Machlok is the Mohammed's vehicle and the Rashbam, but the Rashbam says Zalai is claimed with the tree, certain vegetables or mushrooms or whatever it is. And these were things that people generally ate after the meal was over, what we call in English desserts. And Rav Yochanan, and he speaks, goes a lot of little birds, you know, also dainty delicacies. These are kind of things that they're not serious foods. They're not foods that are meant to fill you up. You're already full. These are delicacies, which are always there to kind of clinch the suda. And suda is a whole agenda. There's a whole protocol of how to eat a suda. So that's how they eat the suda. They have a dessert, just like we have desserts. And the apple suda is also frivolous, or the piece of cake and tea at the end. But it's a way of closing the suda. That you're not allowed to do, says Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. What is Rav Yochanan specific? Klois Vergoizim. So some say Klois Vergoizim is even more extreme, and some say no, Klois Vergoizim is just another example, like with the Lua or the Lua that goes alive.
Maybe that's the facility
to get a consulting on. Very possible. Very possible. You get out Klois earlier, and then all of it, make sure that you don't even have to. But there's a Machlokes Rishonim, suffice it to say, whether that's in fact so according to Shmuel. Now the question in all of this, and the main question that I'd like to deal with in the 10 minutes that we have, is why not? So from Rav we already learn his reason of why not is what? It's because there's a Gzeira. Now you could say that Shmuel just took the Gzeira one step further. In other words, if you eat more things after the Pesach in your own home, you may be inclined, and that by the way happens all the time. Let's go visit our friends, you go to them, and they're still busy with their tea and cake, and they say, why don't you have some tea and cake? So the fear of getting involved in Rav's Pasha, fourth, Shmuel says, Chazal, to be machmir, that no food after the Pesach, period, anywhere, and then you don't have any problems. But what's the ultimate reason for all of this? That lest you go mechabura lechabura to eat their carbon pasach. That's the Eastern and Hatayah. Right?
The vayis echad yachel, you can't eat the carbon pasach here, and then eat their carbon pasach here. Okay.
Now, what about matzah? So what does that have to do with us? Unfortunately, we don't have the carbon pasach. As I always tell you, that's why you say the Shana Abad Yishalayim on the night of the Seder, because you don't have the main aspect, the Korban Pesach.
So what? So now there's nothing. You don't have the Korban Pesach, you don't have to worry about it. The only advantage of not having the Korban Pesach may be that you don't have to worry about it.
There's no problem. So why make that? What are you going to do? No, there's the Gemara. And the Gemara has 2 days in the Gemara, which basically, the whole section of the Gemara on the bottom of Amud Beis is repeated almost verbatim in reverse on the top of Amud Aleph, because the Shaila is whether your master acha hamatzah afikomer, or no, even if the matzah is manazeh, in other words, you can't eat anything after the matzah. How do we paskin, of course, I mean, based on our experience in the Seder, we paskin, you're allowed to eat after the last piece of matzah, you're not allowed to eat after this, you're not. So in other words, we pass an ein mafirin acha hamatzah afikoman. What does the word afikoman mean? Let's say dessert. So we can't eat an afikoman, we can't eat dessert after the matzah. Correct? Why not? There's no day, there's nothing to fear. So I am suggesting, well, not suggesting, so you have the Rashbam. What does the Rashbam say, Seirish? Why is ein mafirin acha hamatzah? Because since in the Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash HaYakayim, there was matzah together with the Korban Pesach, so zecher to the matzah that was with the Korban Pesach since you're not since in the time of the Beis HaMikdash you weren't allowed to eat after that, what? They used to eat the matzah together with the Korban Pesach, especially according to the Shita of the Rashbam. If Korban then was all the three pieces together, matzah, maror, and Pesach. So the Pesach used to be eaten with the matzah. That matzah, after that, you wouldn't be able to eat anything at all. So they said to that, to the matzah and the chalas in HaPesach, what? Bizman HaZeh, even though the matzah here is different, because the Erev is not for matzah, nevertheless we eat a kazayis with matzah, in order to what? To remember that there was matzah ne'achelos in HaPesach, and just like then you couldn't eat afterwards anything, so today also you can't eat afterwards anything. So we would have expected that the Rashbam should say that the matzah that we eat at the beginning of the meal, because what do? We do something strange. We eat matzah at the beginning of the meal, and then we eat a kazayis of matzah at the end of the meal. So the matzah that we eat at the beginning of the meal ostensibly would be the matzah of the mitzvah. And the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal simply is zecher to the matzah nechalos in HaPesach, it's zecher l'mikdash. Instead, what does the Rashbam say, actually? Which matzah is the matzah's mitzvah? The matzah at the end. Where does the Rashbam say that? What are the words of the Rashbam himself? Where does the Rashbam say, it's on the bottom of Kofi Pes on the day. Where does the Rashbam say, what do you mean, the tzua, the broken matzah? Why is it the broken matzah? Because we already performed yachat, we broke the matzah, we put away a piece of the matzah, and that matzah, the tzua, the broken matzah which we put away, we take out when? At the end, after the seuda is over, and we eat it, what do we call it? What do we call that? But what do we call it? Afikoman. Why do we call it Afikoman? Because that's our dessert. Now, it's a way of indicating that for us, this is the dessert. So, no. What is that quality of man? So I would have said it's pure nostalgia. What does the Rashbam say? That's the, how do you know? Read the words. The Shem Chova. The Shem Chova. And let me ask you something. If that's the case, I don't mind if you answer that the first piece of matzah that you ate was necessary because you have to be kovei suda, kiddush v'makom suda, you have to wash and you have to make hamotzi. But if the Rashbam is right, what would we expect about the bracha of alakilas matzah? It should have been at the end, but it's not. Yeah, to explain exactly what that's all about, because maybe it's more minutes than I'm able to give it now. But la halacha is correct. La halacha, it comes out that according to the Shita of the Rashbam, as well as one of the days in the Tosfos on the top of the next Amud, there is, in fact, a very, very strange, but nevertheless, carefully crafted, extremely carefully engineered structure on the night of Pesach by us in our home, where we wash and we make hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz and alachivas matzah, and then we eat a kazayis of matzah, the likes of which are not the kiyum d'oraisa of mitzvah matzah. Why not? What's the reason for it? The answer is because we want that the matzah, which is reminiscent from the Rashbam's point of view, reminiscent, reflexive of what? Of the matzah nechelosim ha-pesach, should be the very same matzah for which I am yoking the business. In other words, what's he saying? That the Chachomim made gzeira, that the matzah's mitzvah, because it's zecher, l'matzah ha-ne'achalas im ha-pesach, that we want that the matzah's mitzvah should not have anything eaten after it. That's the bottom line. You'll ask, what was this all about? Isn't there a bit of zrizim ha-dimim le-mitzvah? And if you're already making the bracha of al-achilas matzah at the beginning, why shouldn't you have that the first kazayis should be your mitzvah? Which in fact is the opinion of others. I believe, of course, the opinion of the Rambam, although it's somewhat of a moot point. debatable. The Tosfos says explicitly, one day in Tosfos, no, it's the first Hazayis of Matzah, that's the mitzvah of the Daraisa. So what's the last Hazayis? That's the Koyman. That's them. That's the Rabbanah.
But the Daraisa, where are the reasons? It's the Rabbanah.
But the Daraisa was already Yotzei right away. Okay, that makes sense to me. Why should there be, though, the reverse? That the last Matzah should be the Daraisa.
What's the point? The answer is the Chachamim insisted that after mitzvah matzah, you cannot eat anything else.
The Avatolim. Let's say that the first matzah was your Kiyum Doraisa. What would be the immediate consequence of this? You can't eat anything else.
Now, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's just there's no food.
And you may have a problem with Mara,
because it's a passive disaster. Anyhow, what's the bottom line? What did they do? They let you eat an entire meal. They stripped the first Kazayik of its quality of Kiyum Mitzvah Midaraisa. They postponed the Kiyum Mitzvah Midaraisa. They held it in abeyance until the last Kazayik that you eat.
And what we call the Afi Kaiman, according to that sheet of the Rashbam, and one day in Tosuk, and other Rishonim,
is in fact the Kiyum Mitzvah Matzah Daraisa as well. And the bracha goes on that Kazayis cloth. You see, it's very, very complicated. That's why I don't want to get into that. What I don't want to get into is their Hezber, La'achar Hashem Yilei Kreiso Mehem, but then he's going to go make the bracha.
By the way, from the Lashon of the Gemara, as quoted by the Tosfos, you don't get the impression that the reason is that they're afraid that he'd never get to it later on.
You get the impression that simply you cannot make a bracha on a mitzvah if you gorge yourself in reshus of the same thing.
If anyone wanted to, I think you could easily find an explanation in the fact that it's an extreme chutzpah to the Rebbeinu Shlomo that you can walk by the same store 25 times and only at the 26th time you walk in.
Yeah.
But the point is, it needs more explanation. I don't want to get dragged into that.
Now, that's one opinion, that the reason for the matzah today at the Afikayman is because they saw the matzah haba im hapetzah.
But there's another shita, also Zeicha Levikdash. And then there's a third shita, Zeicha Levikdash. There are three shitas, all of whom have in common Zeicha Levikdash. But they're not the same. Because one day of the Rashbam is that it's Zeicha Levikdash, matzah is matzah.
There's matzah, matzah. Which matzah is this matzah supposed to represent? That matzah, which in his mind, Zeicha Levikdash, was together with the Pesach. Of course it was together with the Pesach. The Rosh says that it's Zeicha to the Korban Pesach directly. You can have matzah as a symbol for Korban Pesach. I, matzah is not Korban Pesach, and Korban Pesach is not matzah. Naturally, you can't imitate Korban by definition. So you can have anything symbolizing it. So since matzah has some obvious connection to Korban Pesach, you can use it as a symbol for the Korban Pesach itself. So it's a Zeicha Levikdash for the Korban Pesach. Since Ein Masbir in Acha HaPesach Afikoman, we substitute the Pesach with a piece of matzah, and we say Ein Masbir in Acha Matzah Zu Shehi Keneged HaPesach Afikoman. And then there's the opinion of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says an interesting thing. In those days, the Masha Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, there was a huge number of Jews per Korban Pesach. And there was always a very, very big problem that the Pesach had a lot of nimnim, and they all ate a kazayis like, and that was it. But meanwhile, every bayis had a lot of people thronging into the bayis, and it was excruciatingly difficult to stay put. In other words, they stayed in that cramped quarters as long as they had to, but the bare essential. The minute that they could leave, they left. When could they leave? Right before Hallel.
Hallel, they were permitted to stay away from the table.
So when they were able to, they all went up on the rooftops where they could spread out and get some air, And that's where they sang Hallel. So Hallel was sung from the rooftop. That's what the Gemara seems to indicate. Toka Igla, and that's what the Baal HaMorah says. So what does that have to do with Eimaftir and Achas HaTesach HaTikoma? He says that the problem was that once you leave the Korban Pesach without any zecher, you may forget about saying Hallel. You may move, you know, it's like, you know, you leave, and how many times have you been reminded to say Kriya Shema, and you have a meal, and by the time the meal is over, you've long forgotten that you're still mechuyev to say Kriya Shema.
And sometimes you remember before you climb into bed, and sometimes you forget, and you leave the Kriya Shema Shalat.
Yeah, that's very nice, but they didn't have any lists, and they didn't have any of these, that's, by the way, don't quit. It may very well be that you have hit on an idea.
As part of the concept of saying Kaddish Uchas is simply to be able to interrelate parts that normally might not be so interrelated.
However, be that as it may, he says that the reason that they were not allowed to get involved in anything else after the Korban Pesach was so that the Korban Pesach taste should remain in their mouth, and the mayor they would be remembering where they're coming from, and that way they would remember where they're headed. In other words, as long as you smell and taste, so to speak, the Korban Pesach, then you know to say Hallel. If Lo Yitzuyer after the Korban Pesach, let's take a simple scenario. They would eat themselves a dessert of tea and Pesach cake, then they would have forgotten where they were, as it were, and they would forget the agenda of saying Hallel. If Hallel is recited where you are, it's not so bad. But once you have to pick yourself up and go, you have to have something that reminds you of the Korban Pesach to remember to be able to say Hallel like that. Now what about this Zman HaZeh? So this Zman HaZeh, you don't have that problem because obviously there's no Korban Pesach, there's no problem with crowding around, b'chulu. You eat your meal in the comfort of your home and it's just fine. But nevertheless, they wanted that the time of matzah should remain in the person's mouth. Zecher, for mikdash, when the time of Pesach had to remain in the mouth until Hallel. You got it? So there are these three opinions. Tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue with the opinion of the Rambam, which I would like very much you should look at carefully, that Rambam, especially towards two-thirds of the way into the Perek test. Okay, and we'll continue Be'ezus Hashem. And tomorrow is the last day until after Pesach. Make sure that you have in except for the few Yechidim that I permitted to bring it in after Pesach. Make sure you have it in tomorrow. Just keep it home with me. Put it all together and make sure I have it.
I'm not going to tomorrow.
I'm running into Rabbi Chaim.